About 30 years ago, in this place of nature, there lived a worthy man of the name of Ichabod Crane, who sojourned, or, as he expressed it, tarried, in Sleepy Hollow, as the schoolmaster of the vicinity. He was a native of Connecticut, a state which supplies the Union with pioneers for the mind as well as for the forest, and sends forth yearly its legions of frontier woodmen and country schoolmasters. His last name of Crane was quite apt for his appearance. He was very tall, with narrow shoulders, long arms and legs, hands that dangled a mile out of his sleeves, feet that might have served for shovels. His whole frame seemed to hung loosely together like a marionette with invisible strings. His head was small and flat at top, with huge ears, large green glassy eyes, and a long snipe nose that made it look like a weathercock perched upon his spindle neck to tell which way the wind blew. To see him striding along the profile of a hill on a windy day, with his clothes bagging and fluttering about him, one might have mistaken him for the angel of famine descending upon the earth, or some scarecrow escaped from a cornfield. His schoolhouse was a low, rough-hewn log building of one large room. It had windows that were only partially covered with glass, the broken-out panes partially patched with leaves of old copybooks. He had designed a most ingenious security system for after-hours. A sort of rope made of willow twigs was twisted in the handle of the door, and stakes set against the door and the window shutters. This system was designed such that, although a thief might get in with perfect ease, once inside the stakes would lock the openings and he would find some embarrassment in getting out. He had borrowed the idea by the architect Jost van Houten, who made eel pots and crab traps. The schoolhouse stood alone just at the foot of a woody hill. Being far from most of the village, it was very peaceful, with a brook running close by, and a formidable birch tree growing at the back corner of it. On any warm summer's day, the low murmur of his pupils' voices working over their lessons buzzed like the hum of a beehive heard on a drowsy summer's day, interrupted now and then by the authoritative voice of the master. Ichabod's range of educational tones ran from lecturer to conjurer to storyteller to menace and command, or when one of his pupils chose to drag their feet down the flowery path of knowledge, the appalling sound of a birch stick applied to the backside. Truth to say, he was a conscientious man, and ever bore in mind the golden maxim, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." Ichabod Crane's scholars certainly were not spoiled. Now, Ichabod was not one of those cruel lords of the Enlightenment who take joy in the misery of their subjects. He truly wanted the children to learn and always administered justice with discrimination rather than severity. If a young'un winced at the least flourish of the rod, he let off, with only the thought of punishment being enough to get the point across. On the other hand, whenever some tough little wrong-headed, thick-skinned Dutch urchin who plans his rebellion with extra layers in his breeches mocks the master's reproof, well, Ichabod drew down the hardened, narrow-gauge rod and swung into the rascal's backside with such an arc that would have done a trebuchet proud as it cut through all pretense and softened the gristle no matter the padding. He was, after all, merely doing his duty by their parents, and he never inflicted a chastisement without following it by the assurance, consoling the brat as he rubbed the sore spot on his rear, "You will remember it and thank me for as long as you live." Now, I'm not saying he was an enemy to any of the children, not even those who took their stand against him. The children, for the most part, adored him. After school hours, he was even the companion and playmate of the larger boys and their sports and hunts.